Today's guest, business visionary and best-selling author, Tim Sanders. You're listening to the Eagles Talent Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our website or subscribe on iTunes by simply typing in Eagles Talent on the iTunes search bar. If you're interested in bringing in any of the speakers in that we have as guests on our podcast, you can do so by visiting us online at eaglestalent.com. One of the industry's best keynote speakers, Tim Sanders, sits down with our own Sheldon Senek. Tim discusses his ideas on navigating through a trying economy, as well as the importance of confidence and innovative thinking. Tim Sanders, welcome to the Eagles Talent Podcast. So glad you can join us today.
I'm glad to be with you guys too.
Tim, first, as you know, I'm a huge fan for a few reasons. One, because every time you talk, it's worth listening, and as you constantly provide great content. And the second thing is, you're such a genuine person who takes the time to develop real relationships. I have sincerely wondered where some of this comes from, and then I read your latest book, Today We Are Rich. I'd like to ask you, what was this journey like for you to write such a personal book?
You know, this is a book where I talk about lessons I learned from my grandmother growing up on the farm in rural America. And as a speaker, you typically refer to your business experience, which I do a lot. Mm-hmm. And you typically attribute a lot of your knowledge and business wisdom to gurus, authors, professors, entrepreneurs. In this book, I made a decision a few years ago that I should share Billy's system for lifestyle design that makes you confident, not because you're in a great circumstance, but because you're doing great stuff. Mm-hmm. And I could have written it in one of those more how-to kind of books like I did with Likeability Factor. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be much more relatable and much more personal to share the story of Billy as well as some of the warts and moles in my past so that people could really understand that they're not alone.
There's a question that comes up in your book, Today We Are Rich, between you and a friend who is seemingly trying to rediscover the positive roots in his life. And really, you tear right through the fat to get to the meat when you ask, what are you doing today that you were doing when I first met you? And it makes me wonder, personally or professionally, what is that question all about?
So if you've been successful in the past, mm-hmm. you've had those peak experiences at work as a project manager, and then for the last few years, you feel like you've been going sideways, maybe the recession's had an impact on you financially or at your company or even just on your psyche. And you're just afraid, and you just feel like you're just getting by. You know, Sheldon, somebody's like, how are you doing? You say, I'm just hanging in there in this economy. That's called sideways, and it's a really awful place to be because these years are precious to you. You need to be moving forward. So in the case you're talking about, a person I've known for over a decade, he called me one day, and he goes, I've been going sideways for the last few years. And this is a guy we used to call The Rock. And so I asked him, what are you not doing today that you were doing back in the day when you were on top? And I challenged him to start thinking about the time investments he's no longer making, the risks he's no longer taking, and the contributions he's no longer making. So in other words, he started to say, wow, you're right. I don't read business books to build myself up anymore as much. I spend my time watching the news, reading economic reports instead. Like Dr. Phil, I had to ask him, how's that work for you, right? Because back during the go-go days, he couldn't read books fast enough, right? Like why we used to act in 05 and 06. We were knowledge-gathering pack rats because times were good. Then he realized he's also not really hanging out with the same positive people. He's together with the other chicken littles trying to save the fort. He also realized that he's not really mentoring people like he used to. And all of a sudden, he began to realize that it was his lifestyle design that was causing him to go sideways, not the economy. And so he started to do the right stuff again, as if. So he said, I know things are crazy right now with the economy and that we've cut back so much at work, but I'm going to follow Tim's advice and I'm going to do what I used to do. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to read for an hour before I attack my day from books that tell me what's coming next or make me better. And I got to say that one change alone for him helped restore his sense of personal momentum. Because folks, you get better at your job, that's how you make money. All the other stuff is just monetizing the fact that you're smarter today than you were yesterday. And if you want to stop going sideways, get back to that studentship way of thinking.
Being a collaborator. In your book, you write, the role you assume in a conversation can determine its direction. Be a builder of ideas, not a destroyer of dreams. Be a partner, not a detractor. Be a collaborator whenever possible. When you think of business today, how important has collaboration become?
Well, the ability to associate abstract ideas to come up with something that's truly new and valuable, it's really important to any organization, mm-hmm. not just a high-tech company like Apple, but to rural route America. I just spoke for the National Rural Electric Co-op Association. These are people that manage power stations. And supply, you know, energy and bandwidth to farmers. They need to collaborate too and come up with big ideas. Because only when we work together in an abundant environment where we're playing the yes and game and building ideas up to their logical conclusion can we invent great things. Otherwise, we just kind of keep on keeping on and we marginally improve. And the reason I mention this in the book is that in a company, the culture is a conversation. It's a conversation about what it is that we value, what we are going to reward, and where we want to be in whatever time horizon, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And that conversation has got to move forward. But the problem right now, as I see it, is that in our culture, we actually think being a devil's advocate adds value in casual conversation,
right?
Like a project environment. Or you and I are talking at work and we're coworkers. Or anything. And we always interrupt other people when they're trying to come up with an idea or ideate. And we say, do you mind if I play devil's advocate? And we cut the conversation off. I consider this a form of bullying. Because what it means is that if you've got an idea, it's like whack-a-mole. And you're the mole. In the book, Little Bets, the book I was reading this morning, because you know I'm always chewing on another great book, mm-hmm. Peter Sims talks about how they do it at Pixar. You know, Pixar is a real success story in terms of collaboration, innovation, and breakthrough ideas, right?
Sure.
Look what they did with Toy Story. They changed the world. They have an approach to going through project work. They call it plussing. Plussing is when somebody says, I have an idea for this animation segment. They're usually 7 seconds long. He's going to come out. He's going to fall over. He's going to put a hat on. As a manager, you don't want to attack that engineering creative and saying that's a horrible idea, that can't possibly be done. It destroys their sense of momentum and it causes them to become risk averse. They won't talk about bold things anymore. They just want to please you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So in plussing, what you do instead is you hear about the idea and you learn the yes and. So you acknowledge the idea. You acknowledge that's a really creative, bold idea. But what if we did it this way? What if he didn't really move out of the chair and we emoted him just with his eyes? Think about how much easier that would be to actually execute. That's a plussing conversation. It's a collaborative discussion. It's not playing devil's advocate and trying to kill an idea. Mm-hmm. It's adding to an idea. The last thing I want to add here, devil's advocate was invented by the Catholic Church in the 16th century as a screening device,
right.
Because they wanted to make sure that a person they make saint doesn't have skeletons in the closet. So they would make a local attorney against his will be the local Mike Wallace and gather a case against this saint. And at the end of the process, before they voted on canonization, this attorney would make something called the devil's advocate presentation. It wasn't a pretty job to sign up for. You only had to do it once for the church in a lifetime is the average rule. But we live in this funky, weird, you can't be paranoid enough culture today where we actually think if we don't have an idea of our own, it's better to punch holes in a good one.
Hmm.
Leaders, if there's an objection that's just bugging you, let the other person finish their ideation, wait for that pregnant pause in the conversation, and like Yoda meets Warren Buffett, ask them, when you came up with the idea, What obstacle presented itself to you, and how did you overcome it? Because 9 times out of 10, they will tell you the same thing that's eating away at you as the objection, and confidently give you an answer which you hadn't thought of yourself, but now the conversation's moving forward. That's my O2.
The gratitude muscle. What's the difference of exercising gratefulness toward a who and not an appreciation for the what?
If you're grateful for things, you'll never be thankful for the people in your life that you depend on, and you won't develop trust in them, and you won't communicate the power of gratitude to you. I'm talking to you business people, that you are not alone. You see, when you exercise that gratitude muscle, that means that you invest time in noticing and responding to the mana, the help, the teamwork coming into your life. Then you communicate by stretching this muscle to yourself that you're not alone. Part of being confident, that's what this book is about, total confidence. Part of being confident is not just about you and how much you think you can do. It's about your team. And gratitude causes you to realize every day your team is making things happen. So don't be grateful for the numbers. Don't be grateful for the quality of the product you're putting out. Don't be grateful for the things in your life, like the cars you get to buy with your paycheck. Be grateful for the people behind them. So what I do, when I do gratitude exercise every morning, about 10 minutes I invest. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I get up a little earlier than I used to so I can facilitate all this gratitude reading time. I think about 2 people from yesterday that helped the company succeed. So I'm very role-based on my gratitude as a manager. Mm-hmm. So I think about 2 people, one of which you and I both know, Karen. Mm-hmm. She's a perennial favorite of mine in my morning gratitude exercise. So I think about Karen. I say, okay, Karen, big impact on the business. We're pushing out this business power, positive thinking topic to the world, and a lot of people are saying, yeah, let's bring him in to speak. She really did some great work yesterday on getting that message out. Mm-hmm. And then, this is the important part of the exercise, I ask myself, why did Karen do this? What is her intention? Because you can't determine intentions from things, but you can totally understand the why inside of people. There's only 2 answers. Answer 1, she cares about me and supports my work. Wow, is that affirming? Or answer 2, she's on board with the mission of the company, what we do for the world. She's part of the team. And that exercise of her and the other person to start my day and then advancing someone gratitude like you as my bureau partner, mm-hmm. that I think today you're going to make this podcast rock, that first 10 minutes programs me to believe that I am not alone, and it changes my behavior towards you. A gentleman told me on tour that until he was an adult, his grandmother had raised him to believe that gratitude is a compound word. It stands for gracious attitude. See, that's what gratitude does for you as a manager and a leader, is it doesn't just cause you to give thanks to the people in your life and to feel like you've got other people around you. It should change how you lead. It should make you more understanding, e.g. gracious. More forgiving when people make mistakes, because it's okay for your people to make mistakes. They just need to make new ones. Well, I think that there's a graciousness that gratitude produces that makes us fulfill what Napoleon Bonaparte said the role of the leader was. He said the role of the leader is to define reality, then give hope. And only through gratitude can you really do that when times are dark.
Tim, as you're out there speaking to corporations and associations, etc., what kind of message today do you find that organizations are really thirsty for?
They want to end recession thinking because they're all realizing that all the great leaps are made at the bottom. Because the fear of poverty is an equal opportunity planning disaster. In other words, if you've got it, your competitors have it too. Mm-hmm. When you look at the history books of who made great leaps, whether it's Kellogg over Post or what Apple did, during the dot-com bust, releasing the iPod in late 2001. Crazy, huh? Releasing the iPad in the wake of 2008's recession. Why did they do that? Business leaders and association leaders around the world realize that we need to teach people how to think positive during difficult situations ahead of their competitors, and that we need to help people understand it's not easy as you think. Because positive, you ask any SVP of sales, a hard, toughened P&L manager, and he'll tell you the positive thinking isn't some prescription you give a crowd from the platform. It's an outcome. And it's an outcome driven by 1 of 2 things. The circumstance that sales team's in other words, how strong is the economy, how fast is the product selling, or 2, how they live their life and lead their people, their lifestyle design. And that's what they really want me to talk about, is that what can we do as individuals to sustainably think positive and still be realistic, and to think more positive than the other teams that are even more afraid than us and more random in what information they put in their head, what kind of attitude they allow their people to have, and the body of the conversation at work. Are we just hanging in there, or are we moving forward? That's what I think a lot of managers, they want to end at their company, is the recession thinking and that chicken little psychosis.
Tim, now it's time for a segment I'm going to call Tim Sanders Like Abilities. So I'm going to give you a word or topic, and you tell me the first likable thing that comes to mind. Okay? So, you know, I might say ice cream, and you might say chocolate or strawberry. Do you have a favorite?
Yes, I do. I like vanilla, French vanilla.
Books.
Business. Advice-oriented, takeaway value, short as possible.
Tech gadgets.
Integrated, like the iPhone, does everything I need.
Music.
College, independent, keeps me young.
Speaking engagements.
Companies or industries in crisis, where the leaders want to move them from panic to hope.
And lastly, vacation.
Hawaii, Puff the Magic Dragon, I believe they call that Princeville, a week with no email and no internet access with my wife.
That would be nice.
That's how I'm going to do it, baby. You know, I don't carry a phone evenings and weekends unless I'm traveling for gigs. And I only use the internet on the weekend to buy stuff on Amazon or check sports scores. I took my life back this year.
I'm going to have to try that.
As Dr. Norman Vincent Peale said, you're a mind with a body. Don't forget that. You can't be a brilliant person on Monday if you didn't repair yourself on Sunday.
Well, on that note, Tim, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. And really, it's no surprise why you were booked all the time, time and time again by companies. So thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This has been the Eagles Talent Podcast. For more information, visit our website at eaglestalent.com.